Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. If you are with us yesterday, we began to dive into basically Paul's intro of 1 Thessalonians. And as we discussed yesterday, a little background, 1 Thessalonians is a letter from Paul to the church in what would be modernly Thessaloniki, Greece, a church that was very diverse, Gentiles, women, some Jews, but a church that began in persecution, a church that began with the Jews inciting riots against Paul because they were jealous of the conversion of the Gentiles. And we see this playing out. You can read in Acts 17 about the founding of this church. It's very, very interesting. But we talked a little bit about that yesterday, and then we began to see, as we opened up the word, even just in the first couple of sentences, how Paul, as a leader, was writing back to this church with such great affection, love, and encouragement. And as we know, as we talked about yesterday, the book of 1 Thessalonians is really about growth in spiritual maturity. And then 2 Thessalonians is really about the second coming and Paul teaching about the second coming. And we know that those two go hand in hand, that we desire to grow in spiritual maturity for the sake of receiving Christ when he comes again. And part of growing in spiritual maturity is being able to hear from the church some kind of distinguishing of the signs of the times. Where are we at in terms of the return of Jesus Christ, and how do we prepare for the second coming? And so we're talking about Paul being able to encourage us and encourage the Thessalonians in growth in spiritual maturity. And we saw that, friends, just in the first couple sentences, how Paul was saying, he's saying, beloved by God, I know that you are chosen. And it's so simple, but just hearing that, just believing it, like not like talking yourself up with positive talk, but just the reality of really believing in the depths of your heart, you're chosen by God. You are chosen by God, and he loves you. That's not trite. That's not watered down. That's not like, oh, that's just like the easy stuff and I need to get on to more theological stuff. No, but that's the heart of it. That's the heart of it. So we want to continue on in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians and see some ways that he encourages the church of Thessaloniki. But first, let's read our psalm. So we were in Psalm 12 yesterday. We're in Psalm 13. These are just short little psalms for us to pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. How long, Lord? How will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow, I love this psalm. And I honestly, as we were praying this, I felt like there's someone who's listening that those first couple verses are just hitting right on what you're feeling in your heart and what you need to cry out to the Lord. That just coming out of your heart is, how long, Lord? How long? I feel like you've turned your face away from me. How long will I be in this situation? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And this is what's so amazing about the Psalms, is they give us language to cry out to God. And what we see here in David is we see, even in the suffering, he ends it by saying, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. And so, Lord, wherever we're at today, whether we're feeling amazing, whether we're feeling terrible, whether we feel like things are going our way or not, whatever circumstance we're in, we trust in your unfailing love. We turn our posture towards you. We trust in your unfailing love. And Lord, we choose for our heart to rejoice in your salvation. We will sing of your praise, for you have been good to us. This is what we choose to do today. Amen. Amen. So we're back in Thessalonians. And again, yesterday we talked about how we're chosen by God. And so I want to read this section again. 1 Thessalonians, starting in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brethren, beloved by God, that he has chosen you. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction, with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. I think that's how you pronounce that. Again, we're going to keep on going in the next couple of verses over the next couple of days, but we have a lot here that the Lord is showing us. So we picked up yesterday with this verse. For our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. This is so important, and this stuck out to me. And I think it's important that we see this and we understand this. Paul's saying the gospel of Jesus Christ, our gospel. What is our gospel? The gospel that we preach, that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he died, he suffered, he rose again from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead and make a new heaven and a new earth. This gospel, it came to you not only in word, so not just in saying, hey, this is what this is, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. First of all, with power. The gospel is always accompanied with power. And I think there's an expectation, friends, that we need to have, that we need to change our expectations, because we think it's just like, oh, like lightly sharing, like, oh, here's the gospel. But when we preach the gospel, when the word of God goes out, power goes out with it. And we see this in Acts over and over and over again. We've been in a season of the mass readings. The second readings are from Acts. And the first readings during the daily readings are from Acts. And we see power over and over and over again. And it's, he says that Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, stay in the upper room. We just had Pentecost. Stay in the upper room and you will receive power. Not just the ability to give a good talk, but power. And we see the power of God come upon them in the Holy Spirit. And then Peter stands up and begins to preach, and words go forth from him. But what else goes forth from him? Power. That when they hear God's word, they say, what should we do? They're walking into the synagogue. The man is begging. They touch him. What goes out from them? Power. That we need to have an expectation. We need to pray that when the gospel is shared, it would be accompanied by power. Paul says this, that the gospel is the power of salvation. The gospel itself is the power of salvation for all who believe. The power to be saved, to be drawn out from sin and death and eternal damnation. Says the gospel came to the church of the Thessalonians. Not just in word, not just in Paul making good arguments, but with power, first power in the Holy Spirit. We just had Pentecost a couple weeks ago. And that the Holy Spirit is not something for the past. It's not a bird that's flying around. Pentecost did not just happen once. Pentecost is a perpetual reality in which God is constantly, constantly pouring out his Spirit. I love the Pope Leo XIII. I love that Pope Leo XIV took the name Pope Leo because it symbolizes a renewal in the church of a continued outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's a beautiful saint that I want to make you aware of, Saint Elena Guerra, and she was a saint during the time of Pope Leo XIII, and she founded the Oblate Sisters of the Holy Spirit, and she loved the Holy Spirit, and she felt God calling her to write to the Pope to urge the church to return to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit renews the face of the earth. The Pentecost was the birth of the church. And then the Holy Spirit continues to drive the church's missionary activity, to breathe new life into the church. And the Holy Spirit continues to come into all souls who desire him. And I love St. Elena always talked about that the Holy Spirit is the one who forms the saints. If we want the power of the gospel to transform us, maybe you're sitting in your life and you're asking, like, I'm doing all the right things. I'm doing all the right habits. Why am I not changing? Because you need the power of the Holy Spirit to renew you. And so St. Elena started writing dozens of confidential letters to Pope Leo over and over again, calling for renewed preaching on the Holy Spirit. And she said, come, Holy Spirit. She was the one that wrote that prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew the face of the earth. I love she said this. Pentecost is not over. In fact, it is continually going on in every time and in every place because the Holy Spirit desired to give himself to all men. And all who want him can always receive him. So we do not have to envy the apostles and the first believers. We only have to dispose ourselves like them to receive him well. And he will come to us. He will come to us. A permanent Pentecost is to be happening in the church over and over and over again. That the apostles, they received the power of the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're at a time where the power of the gospel needs to come. It needs to come into our own lives. I know I look at my own heart and I see the places of selfishness. I see the places of brokenness. I see all of these places in my own heart that need to be changed. And we look out in the world and we see all these things need to be changed. And the Holy Spirit renews the face of the earth. And so friends, as we witness to the gospel, as we preach the gospel, as we share about who Jesus is through our words and our witness of life, Paul's saying to the Thessalonians, remember when I came to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is dynamite. It's power. And the Holy Spirit attends to the gospel when it's preached, opens people's hearts, and makes the truth explode in our hearts. It's like a bomb going off in the selfish hearts of men, confronting us, taking down our walls, beginning to change us. This is what the Holy Spirit does in power as the gospel is preached. And in the power of the Spirit, as the gospel is preached, wants to accompany the preaching of the gospel with signs and wonders. This is also what Paul means by power, healing, prophecy, the gifts of the Spirit that are showing God's power is here. Wherever his word is, there is power. And the Holy Spirit is so necessary for this power. And maybe the Holy Spirit and all this talk of power and the Spirit and a new Pentecost and all that kind of stuff makes you uncomfortable because you're not used to it. But the reality is that you've been baptized, you've been confirmed, and God wants to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit within you to give you power to preach the gospel with authority and power through the Holy Spirit to have signs and wonders and proof of the resurrected Lord accompany the word. This is why many came to believe. I want to pick up conviction tomorrow, the gospel coming with conviction. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. But right now we pray. No matter if you're driving in your car, we pray for a new Pentecost. We pray for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. Even though we just had Pentecost a few weeks ago, we pray for another Pentecost again, another Pentecost tomorrow, a renewal of the face of the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.